Welcome to The Author Show, where we present new authors and books. From fiction to self-help and everything in between, you'll find it all here. To watch the TV version of our program, visit AuthorsWebTV.com. That's AuthorsWebTV.com. And now, let the show begin with your hosts, Don McCauley and Danielle Hampson.
Hello and welcome back to the show. This is your host, Don McCauley. Today we're welcoming the program author Barry Finlay, and Barry is the author of Kilimanjaro and Beyond, A Life-Changing Journey. Barry had an extensive career in financial management before retiring in 2004 after 32 years with the Canadian federal government. He's a chartered accountant and certified management accountant who dabbles in the arts, as he's also an award-winning decorative wood carver. The experience of climbing Africa's highest mountain at age 60 with one of his sons and discovering the satisfaction of reaching a goal and giving others the opportunity to achieve theirs was a book waiting to be written. Kilimanjaro and Beyond, written with input from his son Chris, is Barry's first novel. Barry, how are you?
I'm very well, Don. Thank you. How are you?
Good. Well, let's start with the big question. Tell us about this book, please.
Well, it's really the story of my journey, and it has been a journey since I retired from the federal government. I had a relatively sedentary career, and I decided I wanted to do something about that, so I climbed Mount Kilimanjaro at age 60 with my son. And the book goes on to talk about our subsequent efforts to bring a classroom and clean water to some children in Africa.
So who did you write this book for?
It really started out being a book for my grandchildren. I thought it would be nice to leave behind a little bit of a legacy for, well, my children and grandchildren, I guess. But then when I started to write it and we started to do some presentations after we got back from the mountain, I realized that we had a message to tell, and so I wanted to put that in book form and sort of get it out to the masses and hopefully inspire others to get off the couch as well, do something for themselves, and to do something for others.
So would you say there's a central message or perhaps an underlying theme in this book?
I think there are three. The first one is that every mountaintop is within reach if you just keep climbing. I sort of realized that our mountain was a metaphor for the mountains that everybody has to climb. We all reach mountains of one kind or another. Ours happened to be a big piece of volcanic rock, but I think that as long as you keep pursuing it, pursuing your goal and keep climbing, you can reach the top of the mountain. So that's the first one. The second one is that you're never too old to reach a goal. And I sort of hold myself up as an example. I think climbing a mountain at age 60 is quite an accomplishment. And I don't expect everyone is going to climb a mountain, but everyone has goals, and it's never too late to pursue that. Sometimes you have to put your goals on hold as you have children and move your way through life, and I just think that you can still pursue your goals later on. The third one is the tremendous satisfaction of reaching a goal and doing something for yourself and doing something for others. There's huge satisfaction, especially if you put a goal on hold for a few years. There's huge satisfaction in reaching that goal. And that's the third message, I think, that we're trying to get across in the book.
What made you decide to climb a mountain at age 60?
It started with a visit to my family doctor, believe it or not. After I retired, I went to see the doctor for my annual checkup, and he told me my triglyceride levels were elevated. I didn't know exactly what that was, but he said it contributed to heart attack and stroke, so that was good enough for me. He also said that said that the only thing that was going to prevent that was through diet and exercise. So on the way home, I stopped at a gym. And I also hired a personal trainer to make sure that I would continue going to the gym and not be one of those people that quits after 3 months or so. Once I started to exercise and feel a lot better, and I was approaching 60, I thought it might be kind of fun to put two and two together and climb a mountain, to use my newfound physical strength, I guess, to climb a mountain. So that's really the reason I decided to climb. It was health-related initially. Then it became a challenge, and when Chris agreed to go, then it was on, and we decided to make the trek and take on the challenge.
How much preparation did you have to do?
It took about 2 years of preparation, I guess, from the time I retired. As you mentioned in the introduction, I had a relatively sedentary lifestyle, sitting behind a desk for 32 years. So I really was starting at the beginning. I ended up losing about 28 pounds. To do that, of course, I had to do a lot of preparation, and I wanted to make sure that I was going to give myself as good a chance as possible to reach the top. So I put a lot of effort into it.
How exactly did you prepare to climb a mountain?
Well, the first thing was the personal trainer, obviously. It turned out she was a 21-year-old girl, and she thought that I should be able to do everything she could do. So she just about killed me at the beginning, but then over time I started to get more fit. And then once my money ran out for the personal trainer, then it became a matter of continuing to go to the gym, and I tried to do that 3 times a week. I actually found out I enjoyed going to the gym, and I still do it. I try to do it 3 times a week. I also tried to do something every day, so I would either go for a bike ride or go for a hike. I'd climb some stairs, so I'd try to be physically active every day. I live in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, and the altitude is not very high here, so it was almost impossible to do altitude training, but I tried to do everything I was doing faster each time I did it so that it would improve my cardiovascular conditioning and give me the best chance possible of reaching the top.
What were the biggest challenges during the climb?
Well, during the climb, obviously fatigue is a big factor because we were climbing for 7 days up. It was 7 days up and 2 days down. And as you're climbing, you get more and more tired. When you reach about 16,000 feet, altitude sickness starts to kick in. And it varies for different people. It's really a wild card. You don't know how you're going to react to altitude sickness. In my case, it was a tightening, like a band around my head. Chris had a lot worse symptoms than I did. So that becomes a factor, especially when you reach the top. You're breathing about 50% of the oxygen that we do here. Strangely enough, the biggest effort for me, or the most pain I had, was coming down. And because you're putting so much stress on your knees and your legs and your calf muscles and so on, your ankles, that's when I really started to feel the effects of the climb, was when I was coming down. And it could be that the adrenaline had started to wear off by that time.
What's it like to stand on the peak of one of the world's seven summits?
Well, it's absolutely incredible. First of all, there's this huge emotional feeling. You've been preparing for something for 2 years and maybe thinking about it for a long time before that. And to finally reach it is just a huge emotional experience and a feeling of accomplishment. You're standing above the clouds. It's a lot like riding in an airplane, I guess. We were at 19,341 feet, and so we could see the clouds beneath us. The vistas and the views are absolutely spectacular. You can see 360 degrees in all directions, and it's just an amazing, amazing view. On the downside, it does feel a bit like somebody has clamped a wet towel over your face and you're struggling to draw a breath, but that's a minor inconvenience, as it turns out, to the benefits of standing on the peak.
What was it like to reach that goal with your son?
Well, it was a very special feeling. He and I got along well all the time he was growing up, so it wasn't so much a bonding experience, but just to be able to do something. He had talked about it prior to me even thinking about it, and it was something that he had in the back of his mind, so it was a goal for him, and it became a goal for me. So for the two of us to do it together, it was very special, and I don't know how many father and son teams or mother and daughter teams or whatever have reached the summit, but for me, it was just a tremendously satisfying feeling to be able to do it with one of my sons.
What advice would you have for anyone wanting to climb a mountain?
We give some advice in the book. One of the main things is that you have to make sure that the guides that you're going with are fully trained and first responders if possible. In our case, we had to have oxygen actually after we reached the peak. As we were coming down, we had to stay overnight at over 18,000 feet, and we had to have some oxygen at that point. And I wasn't sure how you were supposed to feel. I was tired, but as it turned out, the oxygen levels in my bloodstream were really low, and I wouldn't have known that if it hadn't been for the guides. So it can be a life-threatening experience. There are actually people that die on the mountain every year, so you want to make sure you have the proper guides and porters and people who know what they're doing. Also, talk to somebody who has done the climb, because they'll tell you things you never even thought of. And as I mentioned, there are a lot of things in the book that relate our experience and I think will provide hints for people who want to climb the mountain.
You decided to raise money for the children of Tanzania. Tell us about that.
We did. We decided if we were going to climb the mountain that we should use it as a platform for fundraising. And Chris had just had a daughter a little less than a year earlier, so we decided we wanted to do something for the children of Tanzania. We started out by contacting some child-based organizations, and Plan Canada, which is part of Plan Tanzania, came forward with the perfect project for us, and that was to build a classroom and drill a well in a community close to Kilimanjaro. So we decided to take that on. We told people that if they donated to our cause, we would put their name on a Canadian flag. We had about 200 people's name on the flag when we carried it to the peak, and we subsequently presented that to the school at Tanzania when we met the children. And it was just such a satisfying experience. I've now continued on, and we know now we were back in 2011. We've seen the classroom. We've seen the well, and now we're continuing on and helping young women in Tanzania start small businesses.
Most authors have one specific reason for writing a book. What was your reason for writing this book?
Well, it started out, as I said, it was going to be a message for our grandchildren, but we really wanted to get the message out. As I wrote more and more and realized we had the message to give, we decided we wanted to get that message out to as many people as possible. We thought our story was inspiring and motivational. And in fact, we've just won an award from ReaderViews as the top nonfiction inspirational book. So we had that. We have a message. We wanted to get it out. Now I found it's simply the joy of writing. I used to write financial policy for a living, which really nobody wants to read. They only read it because they have to. And now I've found that writing for fun is pure joy, and hopefully there'll be more books in my future.
Other than selling the work, of course, is there anything else you hope to accomplish with it?
Well, it's all about motivating and inspiring. If we can convince people to get off the couch, especially people around my age, to get off the couch and do something for themselves and for others, then I think we've really accomplished something. So, yes, we'd like to sell as many copies as possible, but it's as much to get the message out. The other thing I want to mention is that a portion of the proceeds go towards helping the young women in Tanzania. So every book we sell, a portion of the proceeds from that book will be helping young women start small businesses. And the Canadian federal government is contributing $4 for every one we raise. So all the more reason to get the message out and hopefully inspire people and help the women at the same time.
In your opinion, who should buy this book?
Well, I think it's primarily aimed at baby boomers, but I think it can be of interest to anybody who's interested in helping others. Potential climbers for sure, because we give hints in the book. People who have climbed, because I think it's a reminder of what it was like to climb the mountain. I think anybody who's interested in helping others, because I think we describe what it's like to meet the children and what it's like for them to benefit from the money that we've raised. And I think it would be inspiring for anybody to read that. And then, of course, anybody interested in a true life adventure. Because this is really my story, and it is an adventure. It's written in such a way that I think people will find it interesting and humorous. So I think it appeals to a pretty wide audience, and that people will enjoy it if they pick up the book.
Time is getting very short, so the most important question, where can we buy this book?
It's available at the online stores, Amazon.com and .ca, Barnes & Noble, Chapters Indigo in Canada, and Apple for the iPad has it available as well.
Could you spell your last name for us, please?
Yes, it's Finlay.
Well, this has been just great. Our guest today has been Barry Finlay, and Barry is the author of Kilimanjaro and Beyond, A Life-Changing Journey. Barry, thanks very much for being with us today.
Thank you very much, Don. It's been a pleasure.
This is Don McCauley wrapping up another edition of The Author Show. If you're an author or know an author, learn how you can help a publisher publish you by visiting helpapublisherpublishyou.com. Each week you receive a listing of publishers, small presses, and others who may be interested in publishing your work. This is a free service of The Author Show. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit www.theauthorshow.com, fill out the form, and we may be contacting you shortly. And if you're an author, don't forget to visit Book Marketing, the Author's Marketing Powerhouse, at www.theauthorsmarketingpowerhouse.com. We look forward to seeing you here next time on The Author Show.
Thanks for listening to The Author Show. To contact us, call toll-free 1-877-955-8800. That's 877-955-8800. Or visit theauthorshow.com. That's theauthorshow.com. Tune in next time to another great author on The Author Show.